Good morning. Thank you so much for listening to this talk. It's good to have you with us. It's the second Sunday of Advent, and we are reading from the Gospel of Mark, right at the beginning of the Gospel. Beginning, chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" It's a powerful beginning, isn't it? And I think we always need to think about how things begin, especially when it comes to books. If you read a novel, the first paragraph is always a clue to what's in store, the tone of it, the mystery of it, what's going to happen maybe during that. And again here, we start in Mark with a sense that this is not just new news, as it were. This event, the coming and the of Christ and his death and resurrection, is long planned. It's already in process, and of course our job always is to jump in with that process, to be part of it. I'm intrigued by John the Baptizer because, in a way, he is he's the warm-up act, isn't he? He's the person who's there to prepare people. And in a way, that's what we all are. We're all the warm-up act for the generations to come. We all are. And in the Christian faith in particular, we often just don't know where the seeds that we sow will end. We don't know the work that we do, how it will bear fruit. But we do it anyway, you know, in the sure and certain hope that things planted will grow. And I think that's something about John the Baptist's extraordinary mission. John the Baptist is a strange old character, isn't he? He's clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. I think he's a wild man, really. And his message must have really struck home, because he's talking about really cleansing the ground to make way for the Christ. There was a great deal of corruption in the world in which he was living. There was certainly corruption at the temple, and there was a need to prepare things so that when the great righteousness of Jesus was going to come, some of that bad stuff had been cleared away. And I think that's needed now as much as then. I think that the idea of making good and saying sorry is extremely important. It's part of the Christian way, and it needs to be done regularly. And we don't do it just to feel a bit better about ourselves. We do it because it clears the ground, and that seems to me is extremely important. It's one of the great themes of Advent. You know, we're clearing the ground, we're getting ready for the great event, which is the incarnation. John the Baptist figures heavily in Advent. It's quite a challenge for preachers, because you often have two Sundays when you need to find something to say about him, and that can be tricky at times. I suppose what I'd like to say about this reading is that John doesn't make any bones about the fact that people, all of us, are broken. He doesn't try and sugar any pills. He's actually extremely straightforward. And basically what he says is that we need to say sorry, to repent. Repent, of course, is more than just sorry. It's to kind of turn away from all those things in our life that are not healthy, that are not of God, that are keeping us at a distance from God. I know when I first became a Christian, I decided to ring everyone I felt that I'd wronged. It was the most salutary experience, because I just literally wasn't looking for forgiveness. I was simply wanting to say sorry because I felt sorry. I wonder what I would have made of John the Baptist. I think I might have been a bit frightened of him. I certainly am not sure that I would have trekked out into this barren place. Imagine dragging your family out into the hot sun to hear this kind of message. It's hard to credit, but people flocked there. And the reason they flocked was, I think they knew that something wasn't right, and they wanted something new, and they were waiting for the coming of the Christ, and so they were prepared to discomfort themselves. And I suppose that's where we are in this second week of Advent. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Maybe it's okay for a while to be uncomfortable, because in those places, that's where God can so often work. He can scoop us up, help us to see ourselves as others see us, and as He sees us. And never forget, we are utterly and totally precious to God. And so, friends, I leave you on this second Sunday of Advent. I don't think this is bad news at all. This is good news that this extraordinary prophet, John the Baptist, comes helping us to clear away the ground that's clogged up in our life, to set us free so we can take real freedom from the God who was one of us and remains in human form. That, I think, is the strange mystery of Advent. It's part of the hope of Advent. And that's what I want to leave with you today. Advent's about preparation. And part of our preparation is to take a look at ourselves, not destructively, under the loving care of God who loves us and knows us, and make good wherever we can. Amen.